But Vran lost his grip. The boy cried out as he fell and then rolled toward the roiling orange flow. Voss, his body racked with pain, leapt for Vran, stretching out his hand, willing it to catch the sobbing child. Vran was too far away. Narrowing his eyes in intense concentration, Voss reached out to Vran. Suddenly, the boy's fall ceased, and his body hung suspended above the lava. Just long enough for Voss to grab him by the arm. Come on! Vran flung his arms around his rescuer's neck, his sharp little elbow digging into the blaster burn. Voss gritted his teeth and looked up to see Ventress, mounted on her own flea and holding the reins to his in one hand, while she expertly batted away blaster bolts with her other. With an effort, Voss hurried to climb back up the boulders. When he reached Ventress, he hoisted himself and Vran into the saddle. The boy was wailing in terror, but mere moments later, as the tower that had held them prisoner shrank in the distance, both children began to cheer. It hurt. Of course it hurt. It was a blaster burn. Voss sat in the hold with the children, who regarded him from as far away as possible. When Voss realized they were staring at his blackened, bloody shoulder, he adjusted his position so the wound was out of their line of vision. Unfortunately, he could do nothing about the reek of burned human flesh. He heard the clank of Ventress's boots on the metal rungs of the ladder and turned to smile at her, but he could feel that it was barely a ghost of his usual cocky grin. She was holding a med pack and knelt beside him. A flicker of concern rippled over her features.
It's not as bad as you think,
Voss lied. Ventress glared.
It's every bit as bad as I think, because I've seen them before, and I know exactly what to think.
He jerked his head slightly toward the children and raised his eyebrows. She fell silent and began to treat the wound. Voss watched her work. Her hands were capable and cool, strangely gentle as she positioned his arm to tend every patch of blackened flesh. She sterilized the wound and applied Bacta-treated bandages. The pain ceased, but Voss found himself still staring at her long, slender fingers. They wielded a lightsaber with deadly skill, controlled the force, piloted a ship, landed one hell of a punch. For Ventress, her hands were weapons, tools. But now they touched him, for the first time, with care.
This, she said as she packed away the equipment, is why I don't have a partner.
The words came before Voss even realized he'd thought them.
No, he said quietly. This is why you need a partner.
He reached out his good arm to touch her hand with his own, noting that the darker brown of his skin made her own seem even paler. She froze. Voss looked up to find her ice-blue gaze fixed on him. Her expression was unreadable. He swallowed, suddenly and for the first time in his adult life, utterly unsure of himself.
We need to find the mother.
Ventress's voice was flat. She rose, sliding her hand out from under his, and without another word, marched back to the cockpit.
What just happened?
Voss had no idea.
So confused was he that at first he didn't even notice the soft sound of music coming from the corner where Lolly and Vran were huddled.
Voss shook his head, clearing it.
Hey, Lolly, he called genially. What have you got there?
Lolly gasped and inadequately hid something behind her back.
Nothing,
she stammered. Voss held out his hand.
May I see it? Please? I promise I'll give it right back.
Lolly hesitated, then held out a small locket. Voss took it and opened it, revealing a miniature hologram of a pike female.
It's Mommy,
Lolly said softly, tears welling in her eyes. But Voss hardly heard her. As it happened to him countless times before, the world fell away.
No!
Their mother screamed,
struggling against the burly, falling guards who none too gently were hauling her away from her children. She looked so fragile, as if they could easily snap one of her slender limbs with a single hand. And yet she fought like a Nexu defending her cubs.
No! Lolly! Fram! Mommy!
Lolly shrieked.
Don't take her away!
Shouted Vram. The guard laughed nastily. It was the Faline from the last resort, the one whom Voss and Ventress had tricked into revealing the location of the hostages.
Don't worry. Zaitan will take good care of her at the palace.
The vision cleared as abruptly as it had appeared. Dazed, Voss pushed painfully to his feet and stumbled toward the cockpit. Without preamble, he blurted,
We need to go back to the fortress. The mother's in Zaitan's palace.
Ventress turned to regard him.
Really? She said. And how would you know that?
Her gaze fell to the locket he still clutched in his hand.
Lolly told me.
It wasn't entirely a lie. She had handed him the locket, and that had told him. Her gaze didn't waver.
Neither of those kids seemed to know anything before.
Voss mustered his old grin.
Well, I guess they felt like they could trust me. I'm good with kids.
You behave like their peer, Ventress said. I am unsurprised.
She looked at him for a moment longer. Unbidden, the memory of how her cool hands on his skin had felt returned to Voss. Then she said,
Okay. Let's go.
Voss glanced back at the two children in the hold.
What about them?
What about them?
We can't just let them run around the ship.
They're kids.
They'll have this thing reduced to scrap metal. And what if they wander off?
I'll take care of it.
Chapter 12.
15 minutes later, they had landed their ship in the courtyard, in full view of the tower and the guards stationed there. Ventress snapped down the shoulder harness on the containment chairs, while Vram and Lolly yelped in protest.
Wow, Voss said unhappily. You sure they're going to be okay in there?
Ventress looked at him confused.
What? These restraining chairs lock down the baddest villains in the galaxy. I think they can hold a couple of kids.
That wasn't what I meant, but all right.
Voss!
Lolly whimpered, reaching out a small three-fingered hand.
Sorry, kid. It's her ship.
He gave them a shrug and lifted his arms in a what-can-you-do gesture.
Hang tight, and we'll be back with your mother before you know it.
He patted Lolly on the head and grinned at Vram. He turned to face Ventress, and his smile faded. She stood with her arms folded in front of her. A defensive gesture, and he wished he knew what she was thinking.
Just so we're clear, she said, I'll keep them occupied while you find the mother.
She reached for the door controls. Unable to help himself, Voss called out softly,
Hey.
She turned.
What?
Her voice wasn't chilly, but neither was it warm or inviting. What had he been going to say? He wasn't sure. And now, beneath her scrutiny, he couldn't think of anything.
Finally, he said, Try not to get yourself killed.
Ventress smirked, as he had known she would. But just before she opened the door and descended the ramp, Voss thought her expression melted for a moment into a genuine smile.
He took a deep breath. Get your head in the game, he told himself,
and waited until the guard's attention was fully on Ventress before he slipped quietly down the ramp himself.
Zaitan Moj was not happy. He had not been happy when Marg Krim had unexpectedly rejected the very lucrative offer of combining the Pike Syndicate with Black Sun. Zaitan was even unhappier that he was therefore compelled to kidnap Krim's entire family. And he was extremely unhappy indeed to have learned that a scant 20 minutes earlier, two of his three hostages had been rescued. Zaitan looked up at Kurg Utal as the aide approached, knowing immediately that Utal was about to make Zaitan the unhappiest yet.
Master Zaitan!
Utal said, and he came perilously close to wringing his hands.
We have been unable to find the renegades who took the children.
Zaitan sighed.
Pity. Mark Krim knew what the penalty would be if he attempted a rescue. Prepare to execute his wife.
Yes, my mess.
Utal began, but he was interrupted by the sight of his guards marching up, escorting a female with short, silver-blonde hair.
My lord, the head guard said. An envoy from the Pikes is here to negotiate the release of the hostages.
Utal and Zaitan exchanged glances, and Zaitan turned to examine the newcomer. Her timing was remarkably coincidental, and Zaitan was not one to believe in coincidences. She was clearly not a Pike, and in fact did not even look like she was anything as impressively named as an envoy. Her leather clothing was well worn, and she had the air of a warrior rather than an unctuous diplomat.
Interesting, he mused, settling back in his chair with an inviting smile. I'd very much like to hear what you have to offer.
Sorry, the envoy said. First things first, I want to see the children and the wife to make sure they're still...
She made a show of searching for the right word.
Breathing.
One thing at a time. I can show you the wife, but the children will have to wait.
He beckoned for Kurg to lean in and whispered,
Go forward with our plan, but bring the wife here. I will send this envoy, if such she truly is, with Tezka Krim's head and an eyewitness account of me severing it from her body myself.
And if she is not truly an envoy?
No matter. Tezka must die regardless, and the stranger will soon follow her.
Kurg smiled thinly, his eyes twinkling with admiration for his master, and bowed. As he left the room, he gave the envoy a scornful glance. She met him stare for stare. Zaitan smiled again at his visitor.
Tell me,
he mused, stroking his beard.
Do you think I am a fool?
Her blue eyes narrowed.
Why particularly do you ask?
I know you took the children.
She looked convincingly surprised and angry.
What? Are you saying you don't have them?
He growled, softly, deep in his throat. The guards, standing beside the envoy, tensed slightly. They knew the signs of their master's encroaching anger.
How long are we going to play this game?
She was unmoved.
Do you really think I'd be here right now if I had taken them? You clearly don't know how good I am at my job.
He had opened his mouth to retort when the door to the cell slid open. Tezka Krim stood in the doorway, her blue eyes wide and darting about. Zaitan smiled. This was going to be a pleasure.
Well, there she is.
And here I am,
came a voice. A human male, dark of skin and hair, and sporting a strange yellow tattoo across his face, stepped in front of the Pike, grinning broadly. Surprise caused Zaitan to hesitate for a fraction of a second, but then he dived for his weapon. Before he could fire it, the stranger with the yellow tattoo shot it out of his hand. The blonde woman had already dispatched one of the burly Fallen guards and was now snapping the other's arm with frightening casualness. Blaster bolts sang as the dark human, dodging attacks with lithe grace, shot the blasters from the hands of the guards. Zaitan stared, aghast, as the intruder almost cheerfully made a show of whirling his own blasters around his fingers before holstering them, then charged the nearest guard. So intent on yellow tattoo was Zaitan that he failed to notice the envoy until she was but a meter away. With an angry bellow, he exploded from his chair and met her head on. He took a swing at her, but struck only air. Then he was stumbling backward, his head swimming and his jaw aching from a well-placed kick. One foot struck the base of his throne, and he collapsed into it. In the moment the woman took to whirl around and smash in the face of a guard who was getting too close, Zaitan was up again and charging her.
He was well-versed in a variety of martial arts, and expert in mixing styles up in such a way that his enemy could not anticipate what he might do next. This one somehow did. Almost as if the fight had been choreographed, she blocked his every blow. From the strike of the Nexu to the kick of the Bantha, with almost disinterested ease. The sounds of thuds and groans from his guards told him that her compatriot was easily handling three, probably four attackers at once. Who were these people? As if she had tired of playing with him, the envoy ceased simply defending herself and moved in for the kill. Her punches and kicks became a blur, and panic started to rise in Zaitan's throat. Dodge, parry, block, strike! A left hook made the world turn gray for a moment, and then she was clutching his throat. No, wait. She was standing nearly 2 meters away from him. Her arm was extended, her fingers curled, miming the gesture of crushing his windpipe. And yet he felt it. Then he was lifted up in the air. Zaitan kicked and squirmed, reached up to claw invisible incorporeal fingers from his throat as the woman spoke in a low, chilling tone.
I have a message from the Pikes. Don't ever put family in the middle of this again.
She hurled him with such force into his throne that it toppled over. Zaitan lay on the floor, gasping, and then finally the pressure around his throat disappeared. He got to his feet. Not only were the envoy and yellow tattoo nowhere to be seen, but neither was Tezca Krim. Fury erased fear. Fury and embarrassment. Massaging his throat, he said, coughing,
Stop them! Guards! Guards!
He could hear more blaster fire as the guards stationed outside doubtless tried to halt the escaping trio. Surely the two rescuers would be tired from the fight against so many in the throne room. He heard a strange noise, and rising, caught a glimpse of a blur of light, off which his guard's blaster bolt seemed to be ricocheting back at them. A lightsaber? He charged out in time to see the envoy gripping Tezca's arm and rushing her up the ramp of a waiting ship. The blaster bolt struck the ramp mere centimeters from their running feet, and they disappeared inside. The guards turned all their focus onto Yellow Tattoo. He responded by grabbing a guard and thrusting the unfortunate falling in front of him, using him as a shield. Then the stranger hurled the massive body at the other guards and Zaitan, who were closing in on him. As the two guards stumbled, knocked off balance, the stranger sprinted for the ship. It was already lifting off, and the stranger was forced to leap to catch a hold of the retracting ramp. Zaitan seized a blaster from one of the fallen guards and took aim. Blaster bolts whizzed past the intruder, who somehow managed to clamber up the ramp to the safety of the ship in the nick of time. The last Zaitan saw of him, as the ramp closed and the ship took off, was a cocky wave. After the excitement of the narrow escape came a joyous and tear-filled reunion. Ventress could hear small voices shouting,
Mommy! Mommy!
And the soft murmured sobs as Tezca doubtless hugged her children tight.
I love happy endings, Voss, who was seated behind her, said. She could tell he was smiling by the warmth in his voice. And you, Asajj Ventress, were fantastic back there with Zaitan. That guy was upset.
Normally, after a successful mission, Ventress eased comfortably into conversation with Voss. But this time, something felt different. There was tension between them now, and she was at a loss. As she had told Voss at the outset, she didn't mix business with pleasure. While it was true that her life was mostly business, pleasure did happen occasionally, but never anything that lasted beyond the single encounter, and never, ever with someone she worked with and respected. Ventress had no idea how to process the utterly alien emotions his hand on hers had created. She was alone, and she was strong that way. There would be no mate, no children, such as Tezca now embraced tightly. So she simply did not reply. Voss tried again to strike up a conversation, but eventually fell silent. They stayed that way for the entire trip. When the Banshee settled down on Obadiah's landing platform, Voss told her to go in without him. He would stay behind, he said, and prep the ship for their departure while she got their credits. The younglings begged him to come with them, but he just smiled and hugged them goodbye. That wasn't like the Quinlan Voss whom Ventress had come to know. Something was definitely amiss. She awkwardly accepted Marg Krim's thanks, and much less awkwardly, the extremely large pile of credits he gave her.
"We'll need to refuel shortly," he told her when she returned. "And I could use a drink after all that running around in a hot place."
He sounded like his old self, and he grinned, but the humor didn't reach his eyes. So that was how he was going to play it. Fine with her.
"Catch,"
she said, and tossed a bag containing half the credits his way. He deftly obeyed, then frowned.
"This is too much."
Marg Krim was pleased. In his excitement, he doubled our payment.
"Great," Voss said. "More to spend at the bar. Shall we get going?"
His enthusiasm sounded forced. Ventress frowned, but didn't push. She never liked it when someone hounded her, so she extended the same courtesy to Voss. Silently, she laid in the coordinates for a nearby planet. They had just left atmosphere when about a dozen ships came out of hyperspace.
Ventress's eyes widened.
The vessels were a collection of fighters and interceptor-class frigates, all bearing the stark, ugly symbol of a spiked sun with a circle in the center like an all-seeing eye.
"Black sun."
"No,"
said Voss, his voice a broken moan.
"No!"
Ventress saw in her mind's eye the children hugging Voss, felt for just a moment Lolly's soft little hands wrapped around her neck and shoulders as she ran.
Then, because there was nothing else she could do, Ventress flipped the controls, and the Banshee went into hyperspace.
They headed for the bar first. Voss ordered in a flat voice, knocked back a shot, and asked for another. Ventress sipped her own drink in silence. While she said nothing, he knew she was watching him. He kept his face expressionless, which cost him, and behind the mask he suffered.
Had Black Sun followed?
No. They knew where the Krim family lived. They'd abducted Tezka, Lolly, and Vram easily enough. They'd simply come to finish the job. Voss knew in his heart what would happen. Black Sun would execute them and leave Marg Krim to behold their bloody bodies while at the same time trying to fight for his own life. His fist hurt. Blinking, he looked down to see he'd slammed it down on the bar. Slowly he raised his head. Everyone was staring at them. Suddenly he couldn't stand being in the crowd of people. He downed another shot. The burn of the liquor almost painful as it trickled its way to his stomach. Tossed some credits on the bar and turned to Ventress.
"Let's walk," he said.
She raised an eyebrow, but accompanied him. Dawn was breaking on this world, and the streets were largely deserted. In the forgiving light of the first rays of the sun, everything looked new. Even the things that were battered, broken, and dirty. But Vram and Lolly wouldn't see another sunrise. Impulsively, he grabbed the small pouch that he kept in his shirt. Tugging it out, he thrust it at Ventress.
"Here, you earned this."
Ventress scrutinized him, not taking the money.
"Don't bail on me now, Voss," she said quietly. "We're just starting to make a good team."
"But we aren't a team," he said.
He hadn't known what he intended to say, but the words spilled out of him in a rush, as if they had been damned too long and were eager for freedom.
"For a team to work, there's got to be trust. And I haven't been truthful with you about who I am."
He took a deep breath.
"Asajj, I'm a Jedi."
Chapter 13.
"I know,"
Ventress replied. That, Voss hadn't expected. It threw him utterly.
You do? How?
She gave him a little smile that was much gentler than her usual smirk.
I'm not a fool. I see what you can do. Those cat-quick reflexes of yours. Your fall back on Mustafar. That should have killed you and Vran.
Oh.
Voss managed weakly.
Why?
He closed his eyes for a moment, deciding how much he should tell her. The answer came clear and true. Everything.
The Jedi Council's ordered me to kill Count Dooku. They thought the best way to do that was through you.
She folded her arms, but she looked more curious than anything else.
Elaborate.
He did. He told her that the Jedi Council, and now he, knew that Dooku had cast her aside and tried to kill her. That she knew Dooku better than anyone. That she had tried alone to kill her former master and failed both times. That Master Yoda thought that together she and Voss would succeed. Ventress listened without interrupting. When Voss fell silent, she said,
I'm surprised that the Jedi Council would take such action. Not that I disapprove of it, mind you, but it's a big step from Jedi to assassin. I've watched you struggle with some of the things we've done, Voss. And trust me, you've only seen a very sanitized version of what goes down in the usual bounty hunts.
She shook her head.
Your council doesn't fully appreciate what it will take to accomplish this goal.
I'll do it. Whatever it takes.
I respect your confidence,
she said, a hint of a smile playing around her full lips.
And,
she added more seriously,
your honesty. I don't normally encounter someone with both. You're a rare breed, Voss. But Dooku, I'm not sure you're ready for that kind of fight.
Then make me ready. That's what the Council sent me to you for.
She started to turn away.
You don't understand what you're asking.
Impulsively, he caught her arm. Ventress glanced from his hand to his face, almost wary.
Then tell me. Make me understand.
She faced him then, her eyes searching his.
It will require you to forsake nearly everything that it means to be a Jedi. But you've already begun down that path, I think. Your grief over the deaths of the Krim family does not speak of non-attachment.
He frowned. Jedi aren't without emotion. We're allowed to grieve.
Perhaps,
Ventress allowed.
But somehow I don't think most Jedi try to drown the pain with alcohol and slam their fists on the table.
No,
Voss admitted. Her words were truer than he dared let her know. But one truth he could speak.
Ventress, this war.
He shook his head.
The Council's right. All our resources are being poured into it. And it's a bottomless pit. A victory here, a loss there.
We're too busy simply reacting to the next crisis.
We're Jedi, not generals. We should be fighting organizations like Black Sun, doing things that make a difference.
Dooku is the war. When he dies, it's over.
With him gone, the Jedi could really help people again. Really do something that makes a lasting difference. More than just a single rescue here and there that in the end doesn't...
Voss swallowed hard. He realized his fingers were digging into her arm. Ventress didn't seem concerned, but he forced himself to loosen his grip slightly and took a breath.
So, yes, I want Dooku dead now. His death will fix everything.
Ventress placed a hand on his chest. His heart sped up beneath her fingers, and he knew she could feel it. Gently, she said,
You will have to harden that soft heart of yours.
Whatever I have to do, whatever I have to become, I'll do it. I'll be it.
She regarded him steadily, then said,
We shall see.
seated in the dim shadows of the 1313 bar, Obi-Wan Kenobi resisted the urge to check the time again. He knew Voss was late. He didn't need to know exactly how late. The information would serve nothing except to make Kenobi more irritated than he already was. In many ways, Voss was the perfect choice for this mission. He had a knack for quickly and thoroughly ingratiating himself with anyone. But Asajj Ventress wasn't just anyone. She was, in fact, that rare thing, an enemy Kenobi admired. And if all went according to plan, a soon-to-be ally. He took a deep breath, reaching gently into the Force to place a layer of calm on his irritation, like oil upon water. It helped, and eventually a familiar figure stepped into the bar and made his way to Kenobi's table. "You're late," Kenobi said without preamble, adding pointedly, "Again." Voss shot him his usual grin. "Hey, at least I'm consistent." He dropped into the chair, put his booted feet on the table, and placed his hands behind his head, looking utterly at home. "How is your mission progressing?"
"I've made some real progress, as expected."
With the tip of his boot, he gently tapped his empty glass and lifted his eyebrows in query. Kenobi sighed lightly and reached across the table.
"No trouble with our new friends?" he inquired, filling Voss's cup. "None at all. In fact, she's been quite helpful. Says she's got contacts within the Separatist Alliance that are indebted to her. They'll contact her when one of them knows where Dooku will be next."
Kenobi slid the glass across the table. Voss caught it just as it was about to tip over.
"And you trust her?" Voss drained the drink and wiped his mouth with the back of his hand.
Something prickled in Kenobi, a sense that things were not right. Voss was taking just a little too long in replying. Only a Jedi, and one who knew Voss well at that, would have noticed.
"Yes," Voss said firmly. "I do."
He slid the glass back over to Kenobi for a refill. Obi-Wan searched his friend's face. Beneath the expression of absolute confidence, he looked vulnerable. In a kind voice, he said,
"Have caution, Quinlan. Ventress is nothing if not manipulative.
She won't hesitate to use your trust against you the instant it serves her own selfish purposes." Back the glass slid across the table. Voss caught it and looked Kenobi right in the eye.
"She's been faithful to me."
That's a curious choice of words, Kenobi thought, and the unease stirred inside him again. But there was nothing to be done. He had warned Voss, and he could do no more. The other Jedi, after all, was a fellow master, and one who had been in this sort of duplicitous situation many more times than Kenobi had. He contented himself with saying, "For now." They clinked their glasses and drank. Kenobi placed his down on the table and rose, donning his helmet and clapping Voss on the shoulder. But even as he left, he couldn't shake the peculiar sense of foreboding. Ventress set the coordinates for a world to which she had never desired to return. But she knew in her heart it was the right place to begin Voss's training. He clearly sensed her need for silence and respected it, though, knowing him, he was probably bursting with curiosity. When they came out of hyperspace and the red planet filled the viewport, Ventress felt a dull, sick ache, a sensation she knew would only grow sharper with what was about to unfold. She brought the Banshee in for a landing beneath the curving, blackened trunks of what had once been 80-meter-high trees. A few had escaped the flames, and some of them still bore poignant, precious fruit. Ventress sat for a moment in the cockpit, opening to the pain, letting it slice her soul like a knife across an open palm. Her grief, hatred, and guilt dripping out like blood. It had been less than a year since the slaughter, and the wound was still fresh and raw. Without a word to Voss, she rose, went to the door, and tapped the controls to open it and extend the ramp. He followed her as she descended, looking first at her, then gazing upon the red-tinted, mist-wreathed world. He stiffened abruptly. Ventress suspected he was sensing the grip the dark side had upon her birthplace, how strong it was, and how deep it went.
"Do you remember sharing Lassarame's whiskey that night?"
Ventress asked quietly. He nodded.
"I asked you what your story was, and you said you didn't have one. Do you recall what I said when you asked me that question?"
"You said you had quite a few of them, but none of them ended well,"
Voss replied quietly.
"I'm going to share one of those stories with you now,"
Ventress said, her voice huskier than usual with emotion.
"About a sisterhood, and a girl who was taken from it, and came back home."
She walked among the faint shadows of the trees, and heard Voss's swift intake of breath as, now, he saw the skeletons of more than a forest. None remained intact. The scavengers had done their jobs, but here and there was the unmistakable shape of a human skull.
"When I was an infant, my clan was forced to surrender me to a criminal. I became his slave. But he was a surprisingly kind master. He was killed when I was still quite young, during an attack by Weequay raiders. I was rescued by a Jedi Knight named Kai Norik, who sensed that I was strong in the Force. He was stranded on Ratatak, and he took me under his wing. I became his Padawan."
"You were trained by a Jedi?"
Voss stared openly at her. Ventress nodded and clenched her teeth for a moment. Sorrow gripped her heart, and she let it.
"For 10 years we helped the people of Ratatak. We became heroes, to most. But to some, we were the enemy."
"The Jedi are always enemies to some,"
Voss said.
"Norik died in front of my eyes. He too was killed by Weequay,"
Ventress continued. Speaking the words opened the gates even more, and she felt a flare of the old, never-quite-gone pain, and the comfort, cold but real, of hatred.
"You may have noticed I dislike them. I vowed vengeance, and I got it. Soon the warlords were dead, and I ruled in their place. It was on Ratatak that Dooku found me, and I him."
She shrugged.
"I hated the Jedi for abandoning my master, and Dooku wanted an apprentice as filled with hatred as he was. It was a good match."
"So, what changed?"
Her lip curled in a snarl as she recalled Dooku's words.
"He abandoned me without warning. He said I had failed him for the last time and left me for dead. But I survived, and I vowed to kill him. I knew I would need allies if I were to succeed, and so I came home."
She gestured to the place in which they stood.
"Home to the Night Sisters, where I was made welcome. And our clan leader, Mother Talzin, helped me plot my revenge. Twice I attempted to assassinate Dooku. Twice I failed."
Ventress turned to regard Voss intently. She could tell he sensed the deep anguish of the place. His gaze fell to the ground, lingering on the broken remains of a Night Sister's bow.
"Dathomir is where you got your bow, isn't it?"
Wordlessly, Ventress nodded.
"No wonder it's so important to you."
He bent, picked up the bow respectfully, and gasped. Sweat broke out on his forehead, and his body went taut. His eyes widened, seeing not what was here now, but what had been here then.
The bow tumbled from his shaking fingers, and he stepped back from it. Recovering, he said, "I'm sorry. My talent, my psychometry. When I hold an object and focus on it, sometimes I can see and hear things that have happened during its history. And sometimes,
Sometimes I can feel what happened.
Then you know that Dooku ordered the massacre, Ventress said quietly. It happened the same night that I undertook the ritual to become a true Night Sister. Dooku sent General Grievous here with an army. We responded with the same. We used our magics, and we summoned the dead.
She gestured to an area of trees that had managed to escape the fire, and pointed to the large sacks that hung like teardrop-shaped pods.
These contain the bodies of my sisters, Ventress said.
She reached to caress the smooth casing.
When one dies, so I was told, we perform a ritual to honor her. We bathe her in a sacred pool, then enclose her in this pod. In this way, a sister never truly leaves us. She is dead, but she is nestled inside something vibrant and alive. She is suspended between sky and soil, because she is truly of neither. She is always near, always part of the clan. I was taught that our dead sisters can share our celebrations of joy and our ceremonies of grief. And that one night, they shared our fight.
Ventress gestured to the skeletons around them. For a moment, her voice caught.
But I do not know the secret of preserving the fallen, and no one else was left to tend to them.
Asajj...
Voss spoke with great tenderness as he reached to touch her arm gently.
I am so... so very sorry.
For the briefest of instants, the simple sincerity of his words and gesture almost undid her.
Ventress slammed the door down on the feeling at once,
before she was overwhelmed. She had brought Voss here to teach him of hatred, to make him strong enough to face Dooku, not to comfort her. It was the only way. She knew, without knowing how she knew it, that Dooku would only be killed by someone with hatred in her or his heart. So she disengaged herself and turned to face Voss.
Don't be. That's a weakness. Stretch out your feelings even more, Voss. Don't hold back. Feel the presence of my sisters. Their fear, their anguish, their hatred. It is this you must learn to focus on if we are to succeed.
Sensing the presence of a living thing, she turned to one of the burned branches. A black snake, about half a meter long, twined lazily about it, flicking out its forked tongue to smell her. Unafraid, she touched its mind and called it to her. It obeyed, climbing up her arm to her neck. Its tongue tickled as it touched below her ear.
My hatred?
Voss laughed uneasily.
That's not exactly the Jedi way.
Ventress didn't answer at once. She watched the snake make its way across the back of her neck and halfway down her other arm. It lifted its head and turned to meet her gaze. Stonily, her eyes locked with its slitted ones.
As I warned you, to defeat Dooku, we cannot do things the Jedi way.
Ventress lifted her right hand, and the snake obligingly coiled its first few centimeters about it. Ventress raised the creature so it was only a few centimeters from her face.
Hatred.
The snake hissed and then began to thrash. Voss started to interrupt, but Ventress lifted her left hand to stop him.
When Kai Narek was killed, I allowed my hatred to take over.
At the words, the snake's struggle intensified. Ventress drank in its panic, closing her free hand on empty air as the force throttled the animal for her.
Hatred gave me access to abilities the Jedi think are too unnatural. But the Sith know that the path to hatred is the path to ultimate power.
The snake went limp.
She let it fall from her hand to the ground, dead.
Voss stared at it for a long moment. Then, not taking his eyes from the creature, he began to speak.
I understand your feelings. I also lost my master. He was killed early on in the war. It was hard to suppress my emotions, the rage I felt at his passing. And I understand your guilt, too.
He paused for a moment, pressing his lips together, as if not wanting to speak the words.
I was supposed to be his partner that day, but instead the council sent me on a separate mission.
His eyes darkened, and his body tensed as he spoke.
I always felt that if I had been there, I could have saved Master Tholm.
Still savoring the snake's torment, Ventress noted the hatred building in Voss.
I remember that battle,
she said, sending him encouragement to dive still deeper into his emotions. His head whipped up, and he stared at her.
You were there?
Too late, Ventress realized her misstep. Fear, usually a stranger, suddenly welled in her heart. If Voss knew, he would...
No, she could fix this.
She could use Voss's feelings for her to do so.
No,
she lied smoothly.
Dooku bragged about it to me. It was he who killed your master. He even kept Tholm's lightsaber as a trophy.
Voss winced. His faith in her words did not waver, and Ventress felt a surge of relief at the fresh spurt of anger she felt from him.
I never knew, he said. The council never saw fit to tell me.
Ventress realized that she had cemented his trust in her, given him a personal vendetta against Dooku, and sparked resentment toward the council, all with a few well-chosen words. Such was the treacherous power of the dark side. She lowered her voice till it was a husky purr.
Let that anger guide you,
she said.
Your feelings for the loss of your master.
When Voss spoke, staring straight ahead, his voice was unsteady.
I was trained to not use those emotions.
Because you were a Jedi,
Ventress said. He winced at the inflection of her words.
But I am still.
Ventress stepped in front of him, their gazes locked. Voss was trembling. To her astonishment, Ventress realized she was too. But with what emotion, she could not tell. She stroked his cheek with unsteady fingers, strangely hypersensitive to the rough scrape of stubble. And he closed his eyes and leaned into her hand. His warm, quick breath fanned her wrist.
There are other emotions the Jedi taught you not to use,
she whispered.
Do you deny them as well?
Voss opened his eyes, rich and warm and brown. He stared at her for a long moment. Then, with a sound of both desire and anguish, as if something had broken within him, he pulled her into his arms and kissed her.
Chapter 14.
Voss's head and heart were awhirl with emotions as the days unfolded. Ventress was opening him to a new level of being, a plane of intensity, depth, and sharp sensation. She had awakened in him a hunger he had never suspected, though he now realized that other Jedi had known it. Voss had grown used to being called unorthodox and maverick for the simple delight he took in his force abilities. No wonder the Jedi Order had preached against detachment or exploring the depths of one's feelings. For who, having once tasted what Voss now shared with Asajj Ventress, would turn away from it? He reveled in their passion, cherished the sweetness of simply being able to reach out and stroke her cheek, and knowing she savored the gesture.
He realized the emotions to which he was joyously giving full rein had been dormant within him for a long time. Perhaps as soon as he had met her on that exciting, frustrating, fun chase for the Vulpi. Certainly since she had tended his wounds after they had rescued the Krim family. Now and then, when he held her in his arms, he believed she shared them too.
When it came to training to face Dooku, Ventress informed him that she would train him as a Night Sister would be trained.
I had conversations with Karras and Narleth. They told me of what they underwent. Night Sisters know the dark side better than anyone. We grow up steeped in it, but we can use it as a tool and stay ourselves. Unlike the Sith. That balance is what you must learn.
They established an area as a camp, respectfully gathering the remains of Ventress's fallen sisters and burying them with care. They went on climbs to build Voss's strength and agility, hunting trips to get him comfortable with killing for food, and long runs to build his endurance. It was on one such run that Voss was permitted a brief glimpse of Ventress's home. He had seen the large red mountain in the distance, but Ventress had been taking him on runs in the opposite direction. One morning, though, they ran toward it. The mountain's peak loomed larger as they approached, but huge trees concealed the base until they were almost upon it. Here, the damage to the forest was even greater than where Ventress had set the Banshee down. Voss could feel the temperature drop, and faint echoes of the pain the Night Sisters had suffered brushed his thoughts. Ventress had been in the lead, but now she slowed. Taking his hand, she led him through the trees and to a clearing. Voss stared in astonishment. It was not simply a mountain. It was a fortress, hewn out of one. Massive statues of women had been carved into the mountain's face, their arms extending upward, appearing to be supporting the weight of the entire vast edifice on the palms of their hands. There had to be row upon row of them, vanishing into the darkness of the artificial cavern's shadows. Some of the statuary lay broken on the ground, mute evidence of the attack that had claimed Ventress's clan. Not a few skeletons still lay here, but they were not alone. Parts of droids were scattered about as well. The statues were exquisite creations, but it was the enormous carving on the side of the mountain fortress that took Voss's breath away. It was the stylized face of a woman, her mouth open to the heart of the great stone structure? Natural formation? The carving was in such harmony with the land that it was hard to tell where nature ended and artistry began.
What?
His voice was rough with wonder. He cleared his throat.
What's inside?
Ventress stood, staring quietly.
My village, she said.
Her eyes were dry, but her pain was all but palpable. Voss squeezed her hand reassuringly, but she shook her head.
No,
she said.
No sympathy. Only the knowledge that Dooku destroyed everything that was precious to me. You are not ready yet to go inside, but when you do...
She looked up at him with eyes gone cold and hard.
You had better make sure you come out.
Ventress was quiet on the run back, and distant from him the rest of the day. Voss wasn't surprised. She'd made certain they had not come to the fortress before now for her own reasons, surely one of which was that it would inflict fresh pain upon her. Voss had known some of the basics of Ventress's history, the parts that the Jedi cared about knowing, at least. But there was so much more to this astonishing woman than her life as first Dooku's apprentice and later his most passionate enemy. In her unguarded moments, he could see glimpses of the innocent child she had once been. And in those moments of trust, Voss fell deeper into whatever this feeling truly was. When they returned to their encampment near the Banshee, she told him she would go alone to hunt their dinner. He spent the time waiting for her, cleaning and checking their weaponry, and had a fire going when she returned carrying two medium-sized vikas.
A few moments later, the red-plumed birds were plucked and spitted, and an appetizing scent filled the night air.
Ventress's distant mood was still upon her as they finished and cleaned up. They leaned against a fallen, blackened tree trunk, close but not touching. Voss waited patiently, and at last Ventress spoke.
"Do you remember our first day here?"
Ventress asked, turning to look at him. The firelight was reflected in her eyes.
"I'll never forget it."
Voss reached to touch her cheek gently. Ventress caught his hand and brought it down, firmly but not ungently.
"I was referring to the snake."
Voss released her hand and nodded. He would never forget that, either. The sight of Ventress summoning the snake to her, and then force-choking it as it whipped and writhed in an invisible grip. He also remembered speaking of his master's death, and Ventress's revelation that Dooku had been the one to murder Tholm.
He felt the anger gather in the pit of his stomach, a knot that was both icy and scalding.
Ventress sensed it and nodded her approval.
"Good, Voss. You can now touch the dark side at will. But it's one thing to feel those emotions, rage, hate, anguish, and quite another to use them. You must let go of your compassion and focus on your hatred."
"And use them on a living creature."
"Precisely."
Ventress extended a hand and made a beckoning motion. Voss saw the glitter of firelight on two small, cold eyes, and then the reptile Ventress had summoned slithered into view. It coiled in on itself, its eyes fixed on the Jedi. Voss regarded it sadly. While he had fully and eagerly embraced the emotions that surged through him for Ventress, willingly drowning in the sensations of passion and deep connection, this was something different. Even had he not been a Jedi, Voss knew he would have recoiled from senseless killing. And this was as senseless as it got, it seemed to him. Killing an animal, a being that was inherently part of the Force and utterly innocent of good or evil, who at the moment had posed no threat at all, simply to go farther down a dark path. But this was the job he had been sent to do, was it not? This had never been about capturing Count Dooku or facing him in a fair fight. This mission had, from the outset, been all about assassination. He understood that millions of innocents would survive who would otherwise die if this abominable war continued much longer. Innocents like Tezka, Vram, and Lolly.
"For the greater good," he thought,
and lifted a hand. Sensing Voss's intent, the snake reacted immediately.
It reared and hissed, exposing sharp fangs.
Ventress's voice, strong and soothing, floated to his ears through his concentration.
"No, gently. You wanted to come to you willingly."
That was worse than a simple attack. But Voss nodded, shifting his energy and his focus. The serpent responded, closing its mouth. Its tongue still flickered, smelling him, but it was curious, not hostile.
"Good," Ventress said. "Now draw him in. Lower his guard."
Voss's hands moved in a flowing motion.
In his mind, he saw the snake willingly approach. And a heartbeat later, the creature moved over rock and soil, its powerful muscles squeezing and releasing as it propelled itself toward Voss. Ventress's voice was almost more felt than heard when she spoke again.
"Feel the dark side. It gives you power. You are in command, in control.
You can bend things to your will.
She was right. From time to time, Voss had used the Force to make suggestions to those whose minds weren't strong enough to resist. His interaction with the serpent reminded Voss of those times, except increased by 1,000-fold.